Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardeners. Of course, it's Lance and Lulu. Hi, worms.
Good evening.
Hi, Jill. Hi, everybody out there.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. I'm going to give the numbers right away because we'd love to hear from you and what's going on in your garden, or maybe you have a question. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. And you can also email worm@kvnf.org. And let's start out with an email, get the conversation rolling.
Yeah.
Okay. Eileen here in Paonia sent an email and wants to know about grass. She's wondering about grass seed that will work well in this hot sun. She's got some shady areas, but other areas just scorched. Got any advice for that?
Just keep it wet.
Keep it wet.
I mean, there are lots of different grasses. Mm-hmm. And there was a blend, and I don't know if it's still being sold here in town at the Paonia Farm and Home, but it was called the North Fork blend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was good for from real sunny to, it had a blend and to shady spots.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor up the street there has something that she put in, and I forget what it is now. Signe, if you are listening, give us a call. 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now, and tell us what the variety of, and even if you're on the road driving, pull over and give us a call.
We want to know.
Okay.
Tell us what that variety is, because it was amazing, because her lawn was shot, and she just put the seed on and watered it, and it's,
it went to town.
Yeah, and it's some special, it's real fast develop. It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Call us. Give us a call, girl.
There's a native grass called crested wheatgrass, and they have hybrided it it's called fairway crested wheat. It's what they put in the fairways for golf courses, so they don't have to water it as much and stuff. So there's another one. It takes traffic, and obviously it's crested wheat, which is actually native to the high plains. It's really not native to the western slope, but it's
more on the high eastern.
But
it,
I have it in
pretty.
My place. I have crested wheat grass on my place that it's been there, and I don't water it, and it's green in the
just
spring.
Just as fine as
green. Yeah,
it's that blue-green color, right?
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
All right. Good deal. We're going to get back to another question there from Eileen, but we've got Ellen on the line with a question. Good evening, Ellen.
Or maybe an answer.
Yeah, there you go. Hello, is Ellen there? All right.
This is Marilyn.
Oh, hi, Marilyn.
That's good enough.
Sorry about that.
Close
hi, Marilyn.
Enough.
How are you this evening?
Good. I have a question for Lance.
Sure.
You gave me a couple of Lutz beets to grow out for seed at the seed school in a day.
Uh-huh.
And I've had both of them under one row cover to protect them from leaf miners. They're starting to shed pollen now. Can I keep them covered, or do I need to uncover them?
Oh, they're wind pollinated. So you don't have to take them off. It's not insect pollinated.
So okay. Even with the row cover on there?
Yeah, the wind will move that pollen around. Yeah. Yeah, you'll be fine. And beets are indeterminate. In other words, they just keep on growing as long as they have water. So sometime in early August or mid-August, I would stop watering them so that the plant will just dry out and then you have the seeds.
Okay. Can I stop watering earlier than that? Because we're going to run out of irrigation water and just a
Do the best you can if that's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and take the seeds from the lower, close, the stalks lower down, not the very tips. Okay, that's where, because the very tips, the outgrowing things and the taller stuff corresponds to top growth, and you'll get nothing but Swiss chard, which is fine if that's what you want. The lower stalks closer to the plant will corresponds to root growth, which is the beet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's
okay,
interesting.
So keep them wet till early August?
Well, if you can. If not, they'll be fine. You got another few weeks or month of watering?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck, Marilyn.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye. I love the beet crops that come out of this valley.
Mm-hmm.
So yummy.
I still have some from last year. I better get on it.
How do you put those up?
I freeze them. Mm-hmm. I just chop them into sort of a little bit bigger than bite-sized pieces and parboil them for a minute maybe.
Flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, the usual. freezing cold water and then a plastic bag.
Yep.
And off they go to the freezer.
And speaking of harvest, you've got your lamb's quarter harvested?
Oh, yeah. I'm almost finished. Oh, my God. And then when I get it out of that garden, I'll be able to fix that garden up and plant it. Mm-hmm. I know everybody thinks I'm so great with my planting, but no, I am so far behind. You have no idea. But I have faith in our, you know, c'est la vie. It'll grow.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll grow.
You're kind of on your own timetable here, and you're right on target with that, actually.
Yes, it's a perfect, it's a wonderful agreement that I have with myself. When it happens, it's perfect.
Let it be, let it be.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Eileen sent an email also asking about bindweed.
Oh, you know, I've decided I love bindweed.
There you go. That's the right kind of attitude.
Well, I mean, okay, so it's not supposed to grow in gypsum, right? That's what you put on the dirt to...
Or acid soils.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you put a little gypsum in there and it's supposed to... Mm-hmm. Squelch it down a bit, right? So I put sheetrock under my wood chips where there's a bad bindweed problem, thinking sheetrock, gypsum, good to go, right?
Uh-huh. No. Probably came out of the sides and then curled up and it's got a root all the way to China.
Yeah, and it's coming up right through everything. It's great, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to admire how determined it is.
It is determined.
But if you keep picking at it and you keep shallow weeding it, you're going to win.
You're going to get it. And you can spray it with agricultural grade vinegar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one
of
her questions.
And do it in the heat of the day.
Yeah, do it when it's really hot.
Okay.
And when the bindweed is in full sun, and boy, will you give it a pain.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, if you're pulling it, and I know we've talked about this before, do you have to get all that root, or is sometimes mowing it? Or yeah, there's no way.
You're never going to get the whole root.
No. It's nice to get, you know, when you pull it and you get this big long thing. But it actually burns out faster if you hoe it right off at the ground, because then it sends up two shoots. You hoe it off, it sends up five shoots. And because it's got so many growing tips to it has to support, it actually burns it out faster than pulling that big one long thing.
Okay.
So it actually works better the other way.
Just have to keep after
And it'll take you 3 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 3 to 5.
Yeah.
5-year plan.
And if you're working your soil at the same time, sometimes that'll get it out too. When you're in a shady spot, or if you have a tree that's finely grown and your soil is nice and soft anyway, it'll give up.
Yeah.
Or it's at least easier to get it out and it'll eventually give up.
I still have places that they've always been the hardest spots in the garden where the bindweed just is at.
Uh-huh.
And they're getting thinner,
but
it's still there.
Right.
You know what? I had bindweed in the back in where all the wood chips are in the back, and I let the chickens graze back there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a chicken tractor per se, but I had it fenced off enough, and the chickens got it.
Yeah.
Never
right
have
on.
Had a problem since, and there was a lot back there. And the other thing too that I did back there was to keep the water off, and kept putting the wood chips on, so that beat it back, finally.
Lots of techniques that you can just
gotta,
go after it.
Persistence is the best technique. Oh, and Eileen was asking about maybe using a torch to burn it off.
Right.
Not this year, darling.
Yeah, I know. No torching, no firecrackers.
No torching.
No.
No sparklers, no nothing.
Nothing. Okay, 527-486-8166, KVNF now, and we have Pamela calling. She's somewhere between Cedar Edge and Hotchkiss. Good evening, Pamela.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
We're fabulous.
Good. What's going on?
Wonderful. Well, first of all, I got to say, I wish my chickens would eat bindweed. They think they're too good for it.
Oh, fire them. You're fired.
We're adding and hoping that they'll take care of it. But my question is actually about a raspberry patch that we started this year thanks to the kindness of some people in Crawford who were thinning.
Nice.
And it's a pretty big patch, and my husband has installed drip irrigation, and he's mulched it, but we live in an area where, you know, it's pretty much sand. We're amending with stuff from DR Fish, which I think is going to help a lot. But at this point, my husband is wondering when's the best time to water, and do you have some ideas about consistency, how often, and for how long?
I can take
my answer over off the line.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Pamela. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, first of all, raspberries like water.
They do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about watering usually in the evening, but she's got drip on with mulch, you know, whenever you can do it except the real heat of the day, you know.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, frequent is the same old story. Stick something down there, your dandelion digger, your shovel, something, and, you know, see how far down your moisture goes.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, the raspberries, don't let them dry out.
Yeah, and your roots, that's a new
planting.
New planting, so they probably aren't down, you know, maybe they're going to push a foot this year.
Yeah.
But just make sure it stays consistently moist. It's going to be your thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's a good year for berries. I saw some blueberry bushes today that were just off the charts.
Yeah, my raspberries are just going to start blooming.
Uh-huh.
And my currants are off the charts.
Yeah, the currants are crazy, aren't
they?
Yeah,
and my elderberries as well, yeah. There's just a zillion.
Yeah, but the main thing is if you can, don't let them dry out.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they dry out just once, you'll lose whatever crop you have on them.
Okay, so really.
Or it'll really cut it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get that really nasty, papery, forget it. You know, you're not going to want to eat them if they dry out.
Yeah.
Because it dries out all through the fruit, and then it's not worth it.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's just gone.
So
the insides are not there.
Ooh, that's no good.
No, it sucks.
So consistently keep them moist.
Yeah.
That's your advice there.
Best idea. And if you run out of water, mulch. As much as you can, and, you know, get a hose or use your gray water or do something and pour it right down their little throats.
Yeah.
And you'll at least keep them alive.
Savor.
You may not get great fruit, but you'll keep them alive.
Right. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Savor the water this year. You're going to need it.
Ay, ay, ay.
Mm-hmm. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. And just busy doing everything right now. Lulu, you got planting going on. Lance, you're going crazy. Weeding, deadheading,
thinning.
Mm-hmm. Thinning.
Tying
grapes up.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, grapes. Oh, man, what am I going to do with my grapes?
They're going cuckoo, aren't they? They're mm-hmm.
Call the neighbors over.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Have you tied your grapes up yet, Lulu?
Nah, they're on their own.
She has a great trellis.
Yeah. I have a huge arbor.
Grape arbor that works really
and
well.
So they're all up there, and they're on top, and they're underneath. But there's thousands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lance, you've tied yours up for the second time. Is that all you're going to do then? Or?
I'll do one more time.
One more time.
And there's the two grapes on both sides of the gate, the front gate. Those will have to be tied a few more times to get them going over the arbor, over the gate.
Yeah.
And that's directional. That's not, you know, and plus support, but it really is directional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So you're saying it's not hugely important to grow the grapes. It's just where you want them to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's important, too. You know, who's in charge of these gardens, you guys? It's you.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, you can pretend.
That's why we're all beat right now.
Yeah, right. We're all sitting around here. Yeah.
Yeah. You love my hands, so.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah, Lance's hands are outrageous.
Well, let's describe that as dirty, dirty, dirty.
Yeah.
Right. Mine are, I wear my gloves. I've gotten so good at wearing my gloves.
It sure is helpful. Boy,
yeah,
it keeps your skin nice and...
Makes a difference.
It does.
But I love having just my hands in it, though, naked. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Let's see. Lulu, you put a bunch of stuff in the ground this week.
Yeah, and I'll finish everything, I'm hoping, by the end of the week. So.
Mm-hmm. And then there's more that can still be planted. Can we talk about all of that?
Oh, I was just thinking, this is me thinking ahead. And for right now, this is the time to plant cabbage for a fall crop. Okay, so either I direct seed it in the garden, which will be next weekend, or you could put it in flats or little pots and go that way, which is probably the best way for most people.
Right.
You know, and stuff. But as things, midsummer, start pulling things out, and you have these other areas, and if you have water, I wrote down a few things. Poppies, mid-July. Peas.
Peas.
Mid-July, and the snap peas do better in the heat than the snow peas, so you might do the snow peas a week or so later.
And speaking of which, you shared some snow peas and snap peas, and they're just absolutely delicious.
Oh, great.
Good moisture and crispiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then kohlrabi for a fall crop is mid-July. Kale, early to mid-July. And the reason why I do kale that late is because I already got a patch of Swiss chard and a different type of kale that I grow for the summer.
Mm-hmm. So all of this stuff is going into beds that you currently have crops in, or are these beds waiting for you?
Both.
Both.
Both. Some will be, the beds are already ready, like the cabbage and the kale. Those beds are already ready. But then I'm going to be pulling out where the peas are growing now. I have that will be 15 feet of a bed, or where the spring garlic is planted, where I took the early spinach out in the spring garlic, and there's a patch of spinach for seed there. When I take that out, that's all going to be fall crop.
Okay.
And where I have, I'm just looking. As I work around the garden, these ideas come to me. And when I take out the Sonoran white wheat, which will be in probably a month, that's where I'm going to plant the peas.
Okay. And you've stopped watering that white wheat.
The white wheat and the emmer, which is also a spring, an ancient wheat. Those have no more water. And the rye is almost finished. Yeah, so when I take the rye out, I'm going to plant something.
When did you plant that emmer and Sonoran white wheat?
March.
March. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put my snow peas in because they're going to be in a cooler corner of my garden where it's, the temperature, they get shaded up in the afternoon, and it's kind of nice. And then what they'll do is they'll stall out a little bit if it gets really hot. And then they'll come in again. They're going to be the tall pole, trellised ones. So they'll stall out, and then you just wait patiently, and they come around
again.
Yeah,
I've noticed that with the snow peas. The snap peas will grow and bloom and do their thing, whether it's hot or not. And if it's cooler, they do better. If it's hotter, they do less. But snow peas, they'll just sort of sit there and wait till it cools off. And they might not kick in till September.
Oh, wow. Smart little devils.
Yeah. No, it's great because you get a reprieve, when you're in the middle of trying to make jams and harvest everything else that's coming at that time. You can sort of just ignore them for a while. And then go out there and pick them like crazy and freeze them up, throw them in the freezer.
Lulu, you mentioned a great planting technique that you try to plant your cilantro so that it ripens at the same time as your tomatoes and your peppers and your little salsa garden.
Yeah, I try to have it come into fruition at the same time so that, if you want to make a salsa, you've got your fresh tomato, you've got your cilantro, and everything at the same time. So
good luck with that.
Yeah,
that sounds really good.
Yeah, well, and it's cilantro. It's got a mind of its own. But I'm going to put it in this one. I've got a couple of these massive, huge stand-up pots, and I'm going to put it in one that gets really great morning sun and then nothing in the afternoon. Yeah. And I think it'll be perfect. I grew my parsley there last year really late. Remember I did that late planting?
Yeah.
God, and it was perfect.
Came out right on time.
It came out right on time. So
yeah, and cilantro's a funny guy because you think that it actually germinates fast. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
At 2 weeks minimum.
Yeah,
it
takes its
sweet cilantro.
And then once it's up, it grows like mad. But
fast.
It takes 2 weeks.
Yeah. So you have to be patient.
Okay.
You have to be patient.
Be patient. And some other stuff germinating pretty fast, like the zinnias.
Zinnias. Ooh. 2 days. A record.
Right on.
Yeah, it blew me away. I was like, you're kidding. I mean, I think it might have been faster than the arugula.
Wow.
Which is the all-time speed demon.
Yeah,
right. And it was just phenomenal. Just popped right up.
Yeah, warm soil and proper moisture.
Yeah.
And went for it.
And that great, oh, God, I took my compost pile apart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I sifted it all out. And so, you know, I got this phenomenal compost pile from the actual bin, not the chicken yard, but the actual compost bin. And, oh, God, it's phenomenal. It's
awesome.
Sweet. Set right to work making a compost tea.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that Monday.
You did?
Made
good.
Some tea.
No, I had been soaking for 4 or 5 days. Oh, I spread it on Monday.
You spread it. Yeah, you were talking about top dressing and side dressing.
It's a term for a light covering of mulch, but really it's more like compost or aged manure or something, and you just put it on the sides of the bed. But not on the plants, but down the middle, you know.
Uh-huh, sure.
On their sides.
On their mm-hmm. sides. You see it done. If you ever watch any of those gardening shows, they're always like, well, and then you take the mulch, and they've got these plants that are, you know, a plant here, a plant there, and then another. And they mulch in between, and it just sets it off so nicely. But it's not my style. But it does work. Mm-hmm. And what Lance is talking about is, you know, just doing it in between the rows. And you put all kinds of everything down there, all kinds of minerals.
I'll do the onion bed. I'll do all that because they're just these spindly little things with soil.
Right. Yeah. They are pretty spindly, aren't they?
You know, mm-hmm. and sometimes if I feel like it, I do the in between the rows of the carrots. Mm-hmm. But that takes a lot because there's 5 beds of carrots.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you do it with that. Every time you say carrot, my little psyche goes,
Yeah. Well, I'm 3/4 done with the 3rd bed thinning.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Attaboy.
You had some good germination going on that. You used some older seed, right?
Oh, that's even a different spot. I got so many packs of the kids.
That's a different spot. That's
the Scarlet Keepers, which I'm actually growing out for seed this year. I didn't think I was going to do it, but just because it's not that really great tasting carrot, but it stores like mad.
Right.
It stores really good. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that seed is 15 years old and germinate. It's just fine. It's actually because it's a slower grower. I planted it a little bit earlier because I had one more bed to plant, and I planted it earlier than that because it's a slower grower.
Wow, there's a cheers to seed saving, huh? 15 years later, you're germinating that seed. That's awesome.
So I mean, it's you grow it in the proper manner, but the real thing is storing it, and if it's stored in tight containers and it doesn't get hot. And out of light. Okay. Light will ruin it just as much as heat.
Yeah, I have a whole cabinet full of you name it and I've got it. And I need to go through and just think I'm just going to make a pile of all of it and throw it somewhere and see what happens.
See what happens.
Yeah, well, that cold stratifying does wonders.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been out in the barn, you know, for a decade.
Thinking of all the different stuff I have coming up in the garden, lots of purslane, but lots of clover, but buckwheat, tomatoes.
Oh, really?
Lots of lettuce,
yes,
dill, cilantro. Right. Mm-hmm. I have one volunteer cabbage, the first time that's ever happened. Yeah, so it's interesting to see that stuff.
Right, what can pop out.
Yeah. I don't know how a garden cannot just entertain you from morning till night.
Right.
Because it's always something out there. Yeah. So I have this huge sunflower coming, and it's a spot where it won't bother anybody, so I'm excited. And last year was a banner year for me with tomato sprouts. Mm-hmm. This year, nada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so cool the way it just...
It just decides for itself.
Does what it's going to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what else I wanted to say something about? The thinning of the trees. You know that book, The Fruit on the Trees?
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
And so Michael Pollan, you know, did you ever read that book, Botany of Desire?
Yes.
If here's one for your summer reading list, everybody out there, Botany of Desire. And it's fabulous. And I was thinking, how clever are the fruit trees to take a year off and not be as prolific? If they're really prolific one year, the next year they're maybe not as prolific.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what that does to so many other things. You're going to cut down on your bug population. because you don't have as, you know, you're not providing apples for the coddling moths and all of that. And
a natural balance
mechanism
there.
And just, you know, so if you don't throw a huge crop of fruit every year, then your little seedling guys that are around have more of a chance to establish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so phenomenal how smart the plants are, how they have figured it out.
Yeah.
There's just so many good ideas about not having a – it's so ungreedy,
you
know, and unpretentious, because they just – they go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I did a great thing.
I don't have to do it this year.
I'm going to go to the Bahamas instead or whatever. You know, they just relax. And
this is the loaded year this year.
Like, this is a big year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cherries loaded. Peaches loaded.
Yeah. Yeah, I got 3 apple trees I have to thin.
Apples.
And then I'll be done with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you were saying about that thinning and how you can just touch the – we always talk about –
You can see it.
Yeah, you
the
can.
June, mm-hmm. The June drop. Drop. And on Little Mama, I'm going to need pliers to get those fruit. The fruit are just on her so hard. They're just stuck on. I had 4 little ones right in a pile, and I thought I'll take the 2 out and leave the 2. No.
No,
I'm cutting my off with
I'm going to cut, too.
Needle nose scissors.
Not,
well, pruning shears.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good pruning shears.
They're only about 2 inches long.
Right.
Yes. You know, another thing would be the little pruners. It has a little curve in the cutting edge, and that's what they harvest grapes with. The clusters of grapes, so they can get in there and get that stem.
Right, yeah. Right.
And those
sneak
would
right
work really good for thinning your fruit trees.
I have the oddest pair of scissors in the world that have all this grape decoration on the handles and stuff. And they were my grandmother's.
Oh, that's really cool.
You know, and I don't understand how they work. I should bring them in and let you look at them.
I'll look
Maybe
at
you could figure it out.
Some trick to it, huh?
Yeah.
There must be some trick. They must either that or they're for something else in the grapes, like some way they were pinching support things together, you know, some sort of special task. Yeah, it's wild.
All right, I just want to really quick talk about the garlic. Because it's all scaped out, and your scapes are great, and Lance, your second leaf is dry, and
yeah, my scapes aren't coming out that much. Well, the main variety, the hardneck, is just barely got them showing, and that's the Turkish red or red turkey, Turkish red. Anyway,
red turkey
is really good,
but the Inchilium has no the
soft neck,
but it has 2 leaves. And then there's one variety, porcelain, which is a garlic that is nothing but big. It's called German porcelain, big cloves.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's got the scapes on it and stuff. And then there's 2 others that have the scapes, but I'm going to save the seeds on both of those and grow them out. And it will take 2 years before I get an actual garlic bulb out of those.
Right.
Because next year they'll be just little. After the harvest, they'll only be marble size or bigger. And then you take the best of those, plant those out, and that's the next year. So it's
okay. So it's kind of the same thing as the fruit. You've got a little
it's
window
really
that they figure out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plants that are biennials too.
Mm-hmm.
You know that
right.
come up the first year, establish their flowers, and then next year or establish their leaves, and then the following year grow their flowers and set their seed like crazy people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they go away for another 2 years. It's great.
It is great. Always surprising. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Keeps
so
you busy.
Smart.
Keeps you thinking.
So
and,
smart.
You know, we've got about, 3 more pages of stuff we could talk about, but our time's up. And we're going to have to talk about it next week.
Yeah. Start the new list.
Start the new list.
That's right. So same time, same place, 6:30 next Tuesday evening. It's DJ Leah Love coming up with One Woman's Perspective next. Thanks, Worms. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns.
Good night, everybody.
Have
Enjoy.
A good evening.
You can make me both slow and fast. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.